Hello. It's His Majesty the King here. My part-time job as a special constable, and I heard that you have put out a tweet which rather hurt people's feelings. And I suppose I'm going to have to ask you to take it down. I'm afraid. Yes. And it hasn't actually. We've no evidence that you've broken the law at all. It's just that it's hurt someone's feelings, and so I'm just asking you if you could if you would mind taking it down, please, and also handing over your daughter's mobile phone, and I'll break into your house. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. What on earth have we descended to as a nation? Have you not heard of Magna Carta? Has the king not heard of Magna Carta? Has the king not heard of innocent until proven guilty? Has the king not heard of the concept that you shouldn't be punished unless you have been found guilty by a jury of your peers? Obviously not, because we saw on the 30th of October Prince Andrew being publicly humiliated, stripped of his honours in a way that I don't think has happened since Thomas Cromwell, despite the fact that he denies having done anything wrong, and despite the fact that it has never been proven that he has done anything wrong. And this is absolutely shocking. And it is a sign, as I'm going to discuss in this video, of the way in which we have shifted away from what Professor Simon Baron Cohen has called the male brain to the female brain, and what this says about our society. So that's what we're going to look at today. Before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please subscribe? Could you possibly subscribe on YouTube and leave a like and leave a comment and click the bell button and all that? It really helps if you do that. And could you also subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base content, in-person interviews, films, stuff I make, stuff I couldn't put on YouTube, all kinds of malarkey, some of it free, some of it not. I mean, if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So what on earth has happened? I think the last time something like this happened was about 1540, when Thomas Cromwell was Earl of Essex and various other titles, Henry VIII's chief minister, and it was decided he was a traitor, and he was stripped of all his titles, and he was even stripped of his coat of arms, of being a gentleman, the lowest rank of the nobility, or of the aristocracy, such that he was basically, just Thomas Cromwell, blacksmith. This is what they've done. This is what the king. Although he's so doddering and silly and old that one wonders if it's anything to do with the king, it's probably more Prince William has done. They have gone from the kind of semi-humiliation of making him say, "I will not use the title HRH, I will not use the title Duke of York," so that he can say to himself, "Well, I still am HRH, really. And I still am Duke of York, really, but I'm just choosing not to use these titles in order to be cooperative." They've taken him from that, which of course meant nothing. It's not really a punishment. It's just him having these honours, but publicly not using them, to something that I don't think has ever been done before to a royal. I'm not sure it's ever been done, which is to strip him, or at least not to someone that's born royal, which is to strip him of his HRH status, i.e., to essentially assert he's not royal, to strip him of his titles, Duke of York, Earl of Inverness, whatever else he has, and to strip him of the title Prince, which is a really extraordinary move, such that he is what? Mr. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. And there's going to be all kinds of problems in the media here. What are they going to call him? Andrew? Mr. Mountbatten Windsor? Probably going to call him Mr. Windsor, which is wrong. His surname is Mountbatten Windsor. But anyway, that's what they've done. And this is. There's no one comprehending how insane this is. He has been, as we know, he has been accused. All kinds of stuff has come out. His relationship with the Jeffrey Epstein, him lying about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, him lying about the extent of it, him lying about if and when it ended, and most importantly, about his relationship with Virginia Roberts, who at that time was a 17-year-old masseuse, the most appalling euphemism ever, masseuse, working for Jeffrey Epstein. And she has asserted in her book, which has been posthumously published because she committed suicide, because she's deeply mentally unstable, her book Nobody's Girl, that he had sex with her on a number of occasions, and that she was groomed into really a kind of prostitution by Jeffrey Epstein and his madame Ghislaine Maxwell, and she was of course underage by the laws of the state that she was in, actually she was in England when some of this happened, so she was actually legal. But anyway, she claims to have been groomed into it and whatever, and so in that sense it's not consensual and all kinds of stuff. So that's the situation. And on this basis, he has been humiliated in a way that I think no other prince of the blood in English history has possibly ever been humiliated. I mean, this is maybe the worst thing that's happened to a prince of the blood since the killing of the two princes in the Tower. It's amazing what they've done. They've basically turned him into a commoner. Despite the fact that he denies having done anything, and despite the fact that, legally speaking, he hasn't done anything. There is evidence that he's done things. There is evidence that he's done things that may be illegal in the United States. And there is evidence that he's done things that are not illegal, but are damaging. And there's certainly evidence that he has lied. He's clearly a liar. And if you read the book on him entitled, the extent to which he lies is extraordinary. For example, there is no question about it that the photograph of him and Virginia Roberts is real, and that book sets out the proof that it is real. That photograph has the photographs that Virginia Roberts took at the time have reference numbers on them, and there is one missing photograph, and that's the photograph with that reference number, and those reference numbers allow you to work out when the photograph was taken and where the photograph was taken. But yet he lied and said that this is not a real photograph, this is false, this is a forgery. So we know that he lies, we know that he's a thoroughly filthy and entitled man. The book entitled delineates his incredible crashing into the palace gates when they wouldn't open for him. Really appalling and rude treatment of other people, a terrible misuse of the state's money. There's all kinds of things that he's done that are very, very wrong, but he certainly hasn't been found guilty of a crime. And this therefore, what the king has done is indicative of this change in society that we have been seeing for a very long time, a movement, if you like, to reduce it down, quite simplistically, but nevertheless, from male to female values. According to Sir Simon Baron Cohen's famous paper, The Male Brain Hypothesis, autism is characterised by the extreme male brain, which is that it is obsessed with systematising and order. The extreme female brain has no interest in this, or little interest in this, and is obsessed with feelings, with how other people feel. Now, this can be reduced down into the law, I suppose, between two conceptions of the law. A conception of the law which says that the law abides by the rules. We might call it positivism. The law abides by the rules. We establish the law. The law sets out what certain rules are. You follow those rules. And if you follow those rules, then nobody can ask anything else of you, and you are innocent. Then there is what we might call the idealistic conception of the law. And that is that there are certain principles, and forget what the logic of the law says from the legal statutes and so forth. If you cross those principles, then you are guilty. So one principle would be, for example, that a man cannot profit from his crime. So, for example, so legally speaking, you might persuade someone to change their will in your favour and murder them, go to prison for 25 years, and then come out a very, very rich man. That is the extreme example of the positivist understanding of the law. Okay, the law says, yeah, you've murdered this person, you've paid your debt to society. The will states that you get the money, so you get the money. And that's that, right? That's the positivist view of the law. So there's a tension, because of course that just that wrangles with us, the idea that you can benefit from your crime. And so we don't like that. And so we have a legal principle that says that you cannot benefit from your crime in those circumstances. So you can see that there's something good, perhaps, about a tension in law between idealism and positivism. But it can't go too far, and it certainly can't go too far if there isn't actually an established legal principle. And what seems to have happened over the last 30 years is there has become a de facto kind of principle, and not necessarily a legal one, just a general societal ethical one, which is that you don't hurt people's feelings. There is nothing more important than people's feelings. Absolutely nothing. People's feelings and how they feel and that they might feel hurt trumps absolutely everything, even the law, and that you just don't do that. And so the moment you hurt someone's feelings, at least someone who is part of some kind of protected class or protected group or just the general will of the people, then you are kind of a criminal, even though legally speaking you are not. And you can be treated as a criminal in the sense that it is expected that you be cancelled. The law does not come after you necessarily. You do not necessarily go to prison or be deprived of anything, legally speaking. But you will be deprived of friends, you will be deprived of influence, you will be deprived of access to certain banks, you will be deprived of access to certain resources, you will be deprived essentially of equality before the law, you will be deprived of your life as a thing that is livable. You will be cancelled. And that's what we've seen, this movement over the last, that it's acceptable to do that. Say, this person has broken no law. No law. This person has not been found guilty of anything, but he has upset certain shrill voices within society. And we cowardly people, we can't be bothered to argue with this. And anyway, we kind of sympathise with the view that there is nothing worse than hurting people's feelings. Now, that is the takeover, in Sir Simon Baron Cohen's terms, of the extreme female brain. He has taken over the extreme male brain, which would say your feelings are not important, your feelings are not relevant. What is relevant is that you abide strictly and clearly by the law, and if you do that, then no one should criticise the thing you do, because we are a country governed by the rule of law. Now, as I say, it hasn't been written into the law, so if you offend against the feelings, then you can't necessarily be prosecuted, although there are laws, increasingly vague laws, pushed through by New Labour or whatever, that say that if you hurt someone's feelings in certain specific circumstances, in certain specific ways, you can be prosecuted. And the fact that someone's been offended, which is basically a hurt feeling, means that for certain tweets or whatever, you can actually be prosecuted. So the feelings trump anything else. And this is what has happened with Prince Andrew. That basically people's feelings are hurt because there's all this evidence, even though it hasn't been proven legally, that he is a thoroughly filthy fellow. People's feelings are hurt, and people's feelings, and they can't cope with these hurt feelings because they've never been taught to be able to cope with their feelings because they've been raised to be little narcissists, spoilt people, like Prince Andrew. And I wonder, frankly, how much of this is kind of projection onto Prince Andrew, is narcissistic people projecting the side of their self they're aware of and they don't like onto Prince Andrew, who is an obvious narcissist, an obvious grandiose narcissist from what we know about him. And therefore, he needs to be punished to assuage these negative feelings other people have and to assuage the anger that he has hurt people's feelings. And so he is punished in a more extreme way than has ever been meted out, you know, really since the time when, you know, Henry VIII used to execute two of his queens. I mean, I don't think anything more. This is basically an unpersoning of Prince Andrew. This is asserting he is no longer royal, which is an absurd thing to do, because inherently, if he is the daughter of a queen regnant, then he is a prince. You can do whatever you like as the king. You can take away his title of the Duke of York if you want to. You can do all kinds of stuff like that. But I cannot see how you can say he is not a prince. Or indeed how you can say he is not His Royal Highness. Because he is the son of a queen regnant. So it doesn't make any sense, any logical sense what he's done. But that's the point. Logical sense, in Simon Baron-Cohen's terms, is the opposite of feelings. The two things are antithetical. Now, that's what he's done. Now, even putting aside the fact that there is good reason to doubt the account, if this is focused mainly on the Virginia Roberts, there is very good reason to doubt her account. Remember that he paid her off, Prince Andrew, in 2022, without accepting any guilt. There is very good reason to doubt her account. She asserts, for example, that first of all, the kind of woman who will get herself into that situation will be a woman probably, i.e. essentially working as a prostitute, will be a woman who, as she is, from an extremely unstable and abusive background, in which love is capricious, in which you can't rely, you can't know when your parents are going to be loving and when they're not going to be loving, in which you will strongly fear abandonment, in which you will develop basically borderline personality disorder, in which you have unregulated extremes of emotion, you strongly fear abandonment, you idealise and quickly idealise people, you use narcissism as a crutch to make yourself feel good about yourself, but you collapse out of it fairly quickly. You're basically kind of childlike. And such people will tend to cope with those negative feelings, often via fantasy and via lying. They will learn to lie. They will learn that they need to lie to avoid getting abused. They will learn that they need to lie in order to manipulate people, in order to get resources from them, otherwise they won't get them in their unstable, unpredictable environment. They will retreat into fantasy as a coping mechanism, and this will carry on into adult life. And so those are the kinds of women that will get themselves into these dangerous, abusive situations, and then, of course, the dangerous and abusive situations will make it even worse for them. And often they will engage in what's called vulnerable narcissism, whereby they cope by saying, oh, they are the world's worst victim. They are victims of such terrible abuse. They are the world's worst victim, which is a kind of narcissistic thing because it makes them superior. It makes them, they are kind of special by virtue of being such a victim. And then they invite you into their world to believe their fantasy that they are the world's worst possible victim. But this is also, of course, a way of extracting resources and manipulating people and getting what they want. And if you read Virginia Roberts's book, Nobody's Girl, then this is exactly what you see. She is the world's worst victim. It's just a long lot of things that have happened to her. She is taken away from her parents and put into care and put in a special kind of teaching system for children of that kind. And of course, it's abusive. And abusive in the most extreme and bizarre and unlikely ways. Her mother, she starts, when she wets herself, her mother beats her on the bare bottom with sticks that are covered in thorns, such that each blow is going to draw blood. But yet, in later life, she's friendly with her mother and she loves her mother and she kind of thinks her mother's great. How likely is this? And we know that Virginia Roberts lies because one of the things that she said was that she had sex with Prince Andrew in a bath in London. And we have pictures of this bath. It's tiny. And there's no way that you could fit two people in this bath. Well, then you can't, then if you're sympathetic to her, you turn around and say, oh, well, you know, she's been abused and she's mixed up and whatever. Well, she's very, very mixed up if that's the case. And if she's very, very mixed up, then she's not really necessarily a reliable witness when a man's reputation is on the line, is she? And if she's very, very mixed up, such that she remembers things wrong, how can we know that anything she's saying is really true? Particularly if there's just so many things in this book that are so extraordinary and so unlikely and so extreme, and there's so many of them. So how can we know, be sure, that she's telling the truth on anything? She makes the most sweeping assertions, implying awful things about people, and they've no chance to defend themselves because she doesn't even have the courage to name them. So she asserts that she was raped by a prominent prime minister. Well, it's obvious which prime minister she's talking about. I don't like that prime minister, but is it really likely? I mean, seriously? Is that really? She asserts that she was raped by a very prominent and eminent psychologist. Well, it's obvious who she's talking about. I intensely dislike this man and regard him as utterly intellectually dishonest. But really? So this is what Prince Andrew's up against. And he can't really defend himself because it's not going to be put before a court of law. And so instead, he's just cancelled. Now, to be clear, it's very obvious from Entitled that this is just an awful man. This is an entitled, narcissistic, manipulative, deeply unpleasant, pathetic man who, you know, shouts at people because they don't quite address him properly, who has a servant pile up teddy bears in a certain order on his bed and then shouts at her if she does it wrong, who's just the most dreadful person. But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't be subject to the law. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't have the right to a fair hearing. You know, and that's perhaps, I think, what should happen. There should be some kind of trial to really test if these allegations by this woman, who is known to be an unreliable witness who tells lies, and is so mentally unstable that despite the fact that she has children, young children, she has now killed herself. So a person who is inherently mentally unstable, it should be set out what he's done that's illegal, and it should be tested by a proper trial. That would be reasonable. Because until that happens, then all we have is a man who has not broken the law, who is innocent until proven guilty, who in the eyes of the law has done nothing wrong, who nevertheless has been subject to essentially woke cancellation. And that is an appalling reflection of the king and an appalling reflection on the future king.
Are you ready for the future of the West?